Okay, we are recording. I will call to order the August 17th, 2020 meeting of the City of Kirkland Design Review Board. We will begin with roll call.
Randall Brand. Tim Olson.
Here, I'm here.
Here.
Shoshana Cohen. Brad Brown. Carlos Castaneda. Ting Chen.
Here.
Adam Crane.
Here.
Okay, tonight's agenda is a single item. It is the, reading and approval of minutes. We actually have one set of minutes from back in March 2nd. I will dispense with reading it. Any comments or corrections on those from board members? And realistically, Randall, it's you and I. We were the only ones who were present at that particular meeting. I saw nothing in the minutes to change.
I didn't either. I moved there be approved.
Moved by board member Randall for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Those, I don't think we do a roll call here, but do we need to do a roll call on this or just a voice approval? I assume just a voice approval. Those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. So minutes are approved. Now the announcement of the agenda. Single item, it's the design response conference for the web building. It's the file number DRV2000417. I jumped right past the request from the audience. I see there are 12 participants. If there are any members of the public out there who wish to speak to the board on an item that's not related to tonight's agenda, now is the time to speak. If you do wish to speak about the design response conference on the web building, you will have a chance later in the meeting to speak to that. So, John, I see 12 participants, but I don't know, are there any attendees out there? I don't see any.
Yeah, it looks like there's three attendees. And if the attendees want to speak during the web building DRC, there will be an opportunity. Tim, who is the chair, he will announce that opportunity when that comes for public comment. It'll be usually after the questions of the DRB, after the staff or applicant's presentation. So if you do wish to speak at that point, please use your raise hand feature and we'll be watching the participant list for that. Tim, it looks like there's three attendees and staff will be watching, looking out if there is someone that would like to speak.
Okay, thank you. And I think let the record show that Brad Brown is either with us or attempting to get with us.
Yes, I'm here.
You are there. Okay, welcome. Okay, with no further ado, let's jump right in. I will just hand it off to staff and begin the presentation.
Thanks, Tim. I will share my screen here. Trust you can all see that, okay? Wonderful. Okay, so good evening, everybody. My name is Aoife Blake. I'm an associate planner at the City of Kirkland. And tonight we are here for a design response conference for the web building. There we go. Just as a reminder, the web building is located downtown Kirkland at 89 Kirkland Avenue. It's a two-story historic commercial building currently used as a restaurant on the ground floor and vacant upper floor. The property has street frontage along Kirkland Ave, which is designated as a minor arterial and a major pedestrian sidewalk. It is also surrounded by CBD2 zoning, where similar uses exist. So we're here tonight for a design response conference to review the project for compliance with the city's design guidelines and to discuss topics identified by staff and DRB members. The board should deliberate on the applicant's proposed changes to the building facades, including materials, colors, and details. Also, just as a reminder, the project also has a couple of other land use processes that are in the works. We're here at the design review stage, but they are also submitting a substantial development permit given its proximity to the shoreline management area, and we're also doing a SEPA review due to the historical nature of the building. The applicant has refined their scope of the project since the CDC, and they are still proposing the major remodel to the interior of the building and the renovations to the northwest and south facade, but the rooftop deck and the deck along the western facade have been removed from the project. The applicant has provided a detailed description of the changes on each floor and each facade in their design packet. So some of the key zoning regulations that relate to this project are the permitted uses, both restaurant and office, are allowed in this zone. The height allowance in this zone is 25 feet, measured above the midpoint from the abutting right-of-way. In the CBD2 zone, the decorative parapets may exceed the height limit, and there's also an extra height allowance for rooftop appurtenances. The applicant is also proposing to utilize a portion of the sidewalk as outdoor seating, and so that requires a street use permit where the size and dimensions of that area are reviewed by the Public Works Department to ensure adequate circulation for pedestrians. So under the design guidelines, there's no change in master scale of the building with the rooftop deck and the deck along the western facade being omitted from the scope. The applicant is proposing to preserve the character of the front facade and mirror it along the west and south facades through the use of fenestration pattern and materials. The fenestrations along the west facade vary in size and spacing and complement the character of the existing windows on the north facade. So the DRB should discuss the fenestration pattern and provide any feedback to the applicant. The applicant has addressed a lot of the board's comments from the CDC, especially with the preservation of the historical character along the front facade. Just to note here that during our SEPA review, we sought consultation from agencies with expertise in historical preservation. The preservation of the building character was commended by multiple agencies, and a copy of those comments received were included in the packet that was just distributed to the board. The historical nature of the building is proposed to be reflected on the west and south facade, as I mentioned, through the fenestration pattern, but also through the brick veneer, the roll-off brick detail, and the parapet design. The applicant's intent is to use a brick that complements the existing brick. They're proposing a color similar to the darkest shade on the front facade with a lighter shade for the roll-off detail. So the board should provide input on these elements. The applicant is requesting a modification to the overhead weather protection required by the zoning code. The DRB is the review authority for this modification. The zoning code requires that the overhead weather protection be installed along 80% of the building frontage, a minimum of 5 feet in width, and located 8 feet above ground. So this would cover up some of the historical elements of the front facade and wouldn't really be true to the character. A more detailed analysis was provided in the staff report addressing the approval criteria here. And just so you're aware, the staff supports the granting of this modification. We did receive some public comments after the packet was sent out to the board. In summary, the comments were complimentary of the design of the building, but some concerns raised about noise and parking due to the use as a restaurant. So tonight the DRB should deliberate on the applicant's proposal. If you decide the application is consistent with design guidelines, then you can move to approve the project. If you decide to continue the meeting, you should also provide what additional information is needed to decide on the project. So with that, I can take any immediate questions from the board before passing it over to Rick to make the presentation. Okay, I will stop sharing my screen.
Rick, it's all yours.
Okay. Give me 1 second. Everybody see that? Great. Well, thanks again for the opportunity to present the Web Building Design Response Conference information. My colleague Eric was going to join us tonight, but he was at the racetrack all day and just got home and texted me. So he's a little bushed. So anyway, so when we met 6 weeks ago, there's been a few changes to the scope, which I will address here in a few minutes. But I did feel like it was necessary to go back a little history again for those that hadn't joined us the first meeting. So this is an aerial view, obviously looking at what at one time was the Seattle Ferry Dock. And of course, the red rectangle here is the location of the Web Building along Kirkland Avenue and of course Lake Street, where the cursor is here. This picture was probably taken around 1930, 1931. And I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on this, but I want to kind of bring you back a little history. Here is the ferry dock as it was pre-1930, probably in the late 20s, and Pastime Cafe here, wood frame building, obviously Lake Washington. Again, looking the other direction, Pastime Cafe, wood building, which is now the Williams Building on the corner, and the Web Building. And then what we found out through the SEPA process, the Washington Historical Architect commented, and the Heritage Society as well, that there was a fire in 1929 with a cigarette or cigar that dropped into a fireworks bin, and it actually burnt the block down to the ground. So Mr. Webb and I assume Mr. Williams, although I didn't find the name in history, decided to rebuild right away in brick. And so as you see the two photographs down below, here's the Web Building that they occupied in late 1930. As you can see the plaque on the building, and you can see another picture here. What I would like to point out is the ornament and the articulation of the brick veneer on the north facade, but on the west and south facade, they use the hollow clay block, which doing more research was fairly utilitarian at the time, almost such that another building would be placed right next to that, right on the property line. So they didn't want to spend a lot of effort. That's why we think the brick veneer did not wrap around the building like we're showing it now. So this perhaps is an opportunity to complete that work since there is no building. Site plan showing Kirkland Avenue. Obviously the blue is our footprint and property, the Williams Building on the corner, and then Lake Street here. This is a survey drawing, and the reason I bring this up, there are a few things happening within the survey that are of note. Three sides are directly on the property line, and then the south side is 3 feet off the property line, and there's this little service alley. It's actually an easement, which accesses kind of all three buildings. there used to be a stairway, an exit stairway from the main floor, which is no longer there. Well, it was there, but it's not in very good shape, and it didn't meet the current code, and obviously current code requires it to be 44 inches wide. So I'm going to talk about another alternative to an exit here in the future, which is part of the program. Which becomes important. This is a driveway that leads off of Kirkland Avenue down into a parking area for the Mariner condominium. And then there's a sliver here that kind of leads down into the basement level of the web building. And all these things we've tried to take into consideration with our design, with the program. One thing I do want to point out, there's four, since our last meeting back on July 6th, there's been four items that, scope items that have changed. And the big one, obviously, number one, we've removed the rooftop deck and extension of the stair and elevator to the rooftop because of the potential added weight, live load, both live load and dead load, people on top, and then, of course, materials. The rooftop became economically infeasible because of the increased structural ramifications, the enormous amount of weight. We also talked in a minute, we also found out this particular building is in a environmentally sensitive area in terms of soil being so close to the lake. And so when they actually built the building in 1930, they used what we believe are 70-foot long timber piles that were driven into the ground to support the building. So we have to be a little sensitive on what we replace. And so by taking the hollow clay tile away, which is fairly heavy, and replacing it with a lighter framed wall with brick veneer, we're basically putting less weight on the foundation than there is now. And so that's from a structural standpoint, that's a good thing. The rooftop deck just became, and you know, the other thing was we were designing that for 49 people, a maximum of 49 people because of one exit. So it just did not, just not pencil out. So other things that came into consideration, the building is fairly small at 2,500 square foot per floor. There's a basement level, and then there's the two upper floor levels. And again, the sensitive nature of the soil, and then the building being built to three property lines and 3 feet on the south side. Number two, no changes are proposed in the north exterior masonry facade. We had reviewed some changes. I think the owner was interested in doing a few things, and I think everybody agreed, probably before our meeting, but certainly after, that the historical nature of facade is really what is special about the building. So we're going to keep that intact and try to, in a sense, bring the facade back to life. We'll actually be doing some pointing of some of the masonry grout areas and cleaning some of the brick as well. We do plan on, because of the nature of the project, we do plan on installing new doors and windows to meet the current energy code, because we're bringing up the building to, we're actually required, due to the nature of the upper floor being vacant for, it's actually been vacant for more than 30 years. I think there's a requirement in Kirkland, I know that most jurisdictions, if a space has been vacant for more than a year and a half, the space has to be brought up to the current code. So obviously that's what's precipitated a lot of this work, but the new owner obviously wants to do that anyway. So now we're proposing not to install a canopy or awning at the north historical facade. And I think we shared the concern of the DRB at the CDC meeting that a big canopy, large awning on that historical facade would obviously block some of the historical character of the building. So we're asking the DRB for a modification to the standard. And then the proposed western deck on the west side of the building is not an option, as the Mariner Condominium Association had a concern over the potential noise in the later afternoon and evening from the restaurant use. However, they are in discussions with the owner, and I think close to an agreement, to allow a main floor exit landing and stair on the west side leading south to the ground level. This will provide our second means of egress from the main floor level, which we'll look at and plan here in a few minutes. I don't know if everybody had a chance to read through the at least the DRB, hopefully you had a chance to read through this. I'm not going to read all this, but I just want to touch on a couple key items. Again, we're proposing to update the entire building to the International Building Code. including a complete structural seismic retrofit, new interior stairways and elevator, fire sprinkler system, and to meet all the ADA requirements. In addition, we're planning to upgrade all the mechanical, electrical, plumbing systems, so essentially the infrastructure throughout, and all the door and window fenestrations will be installed to meet the current Washington State Energy Code. All the work will occur within the existing footprint, so therefore no added parking is needed, so we're not required to add parking. And then just the big change on the floor plan changes, essentially the lower floor is the same as support space. The main floor, we removed the west deck, of course, but we have the exterior landing and stair to meet the requirement for the second exit. The upper floor plan, here we're just doing new stairway, core elements, the elevator, the stair. And then, of course, the rooftop, we're removing the rooftop deck, and it'll essentially be, we are rebuilding the roof. It's in pretty bad shape, the framing, and obviously all the waterproofing components. And we're also putting mechanical equipment and duct terminations within a screened wall, which will be located on the roof. So on the north elevation, again, I mentioned the canopy or awning that we're asking for relief. But essentially our plan is to keep the character of the north facade brick veneer. The west elevation, I'll get into a little bit more of that, how we've extrapolated, if you will, the north facade into the west and a bit of the south elevation. I'll do that more in the elevation studies. And then on the south elevation, we're proposing some minor adjustments as well, but I think what's to note on the south elevation is that facade will be cleaned up considerably. Right now it's got a lot of penetrations through it, and it's got surface mounted ductwork that leads up to the roof. Okay, so floor plans real quick. The basement plan, again, this is support space, and what we're showing here is elevator, new stair leading down from the main floor. Also, we've been working with Public Works. We have a new electrical room, which is required with access to the exterior, and we're going to put on the south side, and a new fire sprinkler room and a new mechanical room. And then we're also going to be putting in a new ramp, a service ramp to the support restaurant support space here. On the main floor, as before, we're entering from what would be the northeast to a doorway that leads you to a stairway up to the upper floor, and then a stairway leading into the main level. We've recessed these new entries because technically our building is at the property line and the doors cannot open beyond the property line. And then you'll see these two steel columns here, which are part of our seismic retrofit for the north elevation, as we need to support the existing brick veneer. And then here's the new landing and exit stair that leads to the south off this main floor. On the upper floor plan, we've got dimensioned openings. This is the existing facade, existing window fenestrations that you see, and then of course our proposed along the west side. And then we've got some smaller windows on the south elevation. I'll talk a little bit more about that when we get into the elevation review. And then the rooftop, again, we're redoing the roof in terms of construction and waterproofing. Now we have a mechanical screen that'll be 10 feet off the west facade, trying to hold it back so it's less visible. And then we have these little braces here that are required. They're steel braces that brace the parapet for the existing facade, the brick veneer, and the facade. So a bit of context, here's our existing north elevation. And what's interesting about this elevation and some of the things that we we cued in on with the west elevation, obviously the cornice work that you see, there's the building plaque, 1930, kind of some raised corners. And then there's a soldier course. It's not a Rolock action course. It's called a soldier course because they stand the brick upright. And there's two horizontal lines here that form, the lower one forms the header for the windows. And then Rolock course is for the sill. And then, of course, the kind of rounded corners here of the soldier course, which stops, and then it becomes a Rolock corners. Again, we'll be modifying a bit of the elevation for the new entries on in this area, and then we'll be replacing the storefront to match the character of the building. The context of the west elevation showing the ramp down, this is that hollow clay brick that somebody had painted over. I'm not sure how long ago that was. And then you see the south elevation with all the ducts leading from mechanical hoods on the main level up to the roof. And then this is the parking for the Mariner building and an apartment complex directly to the south. So we developed a SketchUp model showing and perspectives, and these are rather bland, but kind of shows the, you know, kind of existing character. And then this is more of the maximum zoning envelope. As Afa mentioned, the yellow is indicating the height limit. It's at 28 feet. And then there's another 4 foot appurtenance height that's added on top of that. And then there's a 1.5 story maximum elevator appurtenance for the new for the rooftop code. And obviously we're not using that now, but just to point that out with the building. And then here's the SketchUp model we did that's a bit more detailed and shows a bit more of the character of the north facade. What you'll notice is that there's a bit of a lighter color with the soldier course and even with the rollout course at the sill. And then there's a random brick color for the facade. It's actually quite nice. So when we were evaluating how to turn the corner, instead of trying to match the north facade, because it is a historical facade, what we tried to do is say, well, let's go with more of a warmer, darker color off of one of those darker bricks. And that should become the color of the west facade and the south facade. But we will continue that lighter color band work as we wrap the corner. And you'll see that in the next few slides. These were a series of elevation studies that we did. And this is kind of the one that sold the owner on, you know, it should be brick. So we evaluated kind of a rain screen material. We evaluated plaster, exterior plaster, stucco plaster, and obviously with the fenestrations as well. But I think everybody working on the project, I think really, and I obviously probably most of the DRB the last meeting, I think would have been nicer, I think, to wrap the brick and keep the older character of the building. So that's what we're proposing. You can see we started with some of the, you know, wrapping some of these elements, the coping, the corners, and then of course in the middle, and looking at some proportional items as well. And then of course the screen, which would be in the backdrop. The one thing we also need to contend with, of course, is the concrete walls of the basement. And again, they've been, there's cracks in them, and they've been penetrated with openings and with duct work. And so our plan is to clean that wall up and put a coat of plaster over that in a darker, warmer color. And that's what leads us to a facade like this, which the other thing we've kind of was intriguing was using awnings. Not only from a three-dimensional standpoint, but this facade takes a lot of weather, and so it's part of maybe protection of the windows and some of the fenestrations, as well as just the appearance. We think it kind of helps the three-dimensional character on the west elevation. So just to focus on new brick veneer to be complementary to the north brick facade, the new parapet details to reflect the character. The soldier coursing and the roll lock work as well. We're going to try to match the character of the north facade as we wrap around the corner. New main floor windows to open the views of Lake Washington, as well as the upper floor windows. Right now it's planned for office use, small office use. So we're looking at doing double hung windows, similar pattern as the windows on the north elevation. And then of course our exit landing and stair, which leads down to the south portion of the parking lot. As we turn the corner, we've got the two doors, one leading into the electrical room and also the other one into the sprinkler riser room. And we've got some smaller windows, again, because of the office use here. And then this would be the back of house component of the restaurant. And so we're planning on continuing that brick all the way back to the corner of the web building. Here's some more kind of technical drawings showing how we've, and some elevation studies. This is kind of where we ended up. You'll see a little bit of a bump here in a soldier course. These windows are quite low. The head height is about 6'7", and you can see it's only 1'10" off the floor. So what we're proposing to do is lift that, with modern office furniture, that's pretty low, and also get a little more height on the windows, but keep the same character in terms of the double hung or single hung appearance. And then we're showing the awnings with the dash line, but you also see the corner elements and then the central element here, and then of course the mechanical screen in the background, and then the plaster on the lower level in that warmer darker color. Some other quick studies we did, a little smaller windows, a little smaller opening in the middle, double hungs all the way across the front. We were looking at doing a rain screen with a horizontal pattern here. And this was all plaster. We're carrying a horizontal line across, but this was going to be a stucco finish and then a stucco finish on top of the concrete in this area. And then of course this is our south elevation, just showing what we ended up with, which is brick and then the four small windows and the two doorways here. So we drew some building sections. We're keeping the main floor structure and we're keeping the upper floor structure, but again the roof is going to be new and we're using open web trusses and a light industrial look. Could be really cool up there and for the tenant as well. And our plan is to run ducts through the open web. And you'll see some of the proportions of the windows, which I'll show here in a minute and another series of details. We are planning on keeping the column lines that run the building again because there are existing piles underneath the columns, and so we're going to plan those within our TI, our interior finishes. But we are going to replace the beams because they're severely undersized right now. So some of the window details, we didn't take this picture because it was a broken window. It just happened to be a really good shot of what the window detail looks like. And so we're gonna, obviously we'll match. This is the upper window section detail that we would propose, which is, again, an interior stool and apron. And then you've got your sill, which is a thickened sill, and you've got a single hung or a double hung window shown. Essentially we're planning on trying to match as close to that detail as possible. The roll lock, sill and the soldier course at the header, which would be here. And similar context, you know, we've got the soldier course at the top and the Rolock at the bottom, and this is the main floor window. It's a little bigger window, so we're using a little thicker interior jamb dimension. But essentially, we're taking a cue off of that north elevation as we wrap around the corner. This is the what has been used for quite some time, the restaurant patio, and just showing, you know, two top and four top arrangement inside the existing railing, which is out there now, which seems to work really well in terms of allowing pedestrian traffic by, and also we have this vehicular traffic, which is in and out right here. And very similar to the Hector's patio, which we were the architects on the remodel for Hector's as well as Milagro. We'd be putting umbrellas and tables and chairs out in the seating area, in this area. And I don't think I need to talk too much about this, but this happens to do with the canopy, and we're asking the DRB to give us some relief on placing the canopy. As you can see, I don't believe there's ever been a canopy on this building or awning on the north elevation. There has been, of course, on the west elevation for quite some time. It's been an awning. And the one thing I forgot to mention, so the brick character again, the lighter brick again at this coursing that you see, and then we're thinking of this tone in the body, the warmer tone in the body of the brick, and then of course a darker base. And I think that is our presentation.
Okay, thank you, Rick.
You're welcome.
Board members, any clarifying questions to the applicant? We'll do deliberation later, but just any questions at this point? If anybody wants to raise their hand, I can see, let's see, Adam, who else is? Ting, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Rick, for the presentation. The scope change update since last meeting is really helpful. I have a question regarding the building signs. I know you mentioned the building plaque will be preserved. Do you have signs for the office and then the restaurants?
We don't. Not sure what is going to be there yet. They're planned for a restaurant on the main floor and office on the upper, but I think we're in the early stages of tenanting. So we haven't really addressed signage per se.
I see. It's the signage is also part of the whole building design.
Right.
Yeah. That is the other one is you mentioned that's a 70 feet timber pile. I'm just curious where you got that information.
So our geotechnical engineer is Pangeo, and Sue Tan, who's the principal there, has worked on several buildings in the area, including fairly close to this site, and that's what they had installed, and it was a fairly old building. And he was looking back in the records of the site and high liquefaction zone. So he said he would be very surprised if they did not have timber piles, and which they used to do in that era, and they would be quite deep. Could be as much as 70 feet.
I see. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Those are my questions, Tim.
Tim, I might jump in here, Rick, I might jump in here with a question. Just to be picky, sorry about this, but I guess it's kind of our job here. Above the entry door on the north facade, seems like there's two rows of Rolocks above that little archway. It's right below the Rawbar 89 sign in the existing facade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't see those in the elevation. Are you going to try and kind of preserve those? Do you feel that's important? Or how do you intend to, I know it's a small little detail, but right below the Rawbar sign.
Right below the Rawbar sign. Here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right in the middle, below it. Yep.
Oh, here.
Yeah, they're kind of hidden.
They're kind of hidden. Yes, we are. Yeah. So we're not actually proposing any changes to the brick itself. I don't know what happened here. Obviously, there was either they squared the, because it was round initially, and it looked like somebody squared it off, and then they went back in and actually repaired it, and then brought in the curve again. So
yeah,
we're going to try to bring that color back.
Yeah.
Do the best we can. Yeah, awesome. we are gonna preserve that though.
Okay. And then I just have one more question. I really like what you're doing with the the side facade on the west side. Appreciate you doing the redesign.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask how, you know, I understand what you're doing when you turn the corner with the brick. The top of the parapet up there, you know, on the front, it looks like a stone cap. Are you trying to match that? Or are you going to continue that or do something similar along the side? I just either didn't read it, missed it, or couldn't tell how you're going to that top.
Yeah, we're going to try to continue it as best we can. It is somewhat of a, if you look at that, it almost looks like a, it almost does look like a stone cap, but
yeah.
We recently, it's really interesting. We were the architects on the first, seismic upgrade, non-reinforced in the Pike Place Market on the Butterworth building that we finished about a year and a half ago. And what looked like stone was actually metal, painted metal. And so this is not metal, but it's hard to tell what it is. We're actually going to clean it up and then we're going to try to match it.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Brad, I don't see you. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, thanks, Tim. I have a question about the clearance height from on that west facade. What is that head height of the door at the lower level to, I guess, the underside of the, I don't know, deck or, you know, that canopy, you know, that's essentially the bottom of the staircase. How tall, how much room do we have there?
Here, are you talking about here?
Yeah. The basement, the ground, or the, lower level.
The lower level. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's about 7 feet.
7 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason I ask is because I'm just thinking of alternative treatments. We can get into deliberation. But, yeah, I wasn't sure if we just have much room to work with there.
Well, so you can see here's – it's a – it's a rather short head height down in the basement. It's very, you know, again, it's probably intended as such a utilitarian floor, but so it's a 9'8" floor height. And so we've got, you know, about, I think it's about 8'8" clear, the bottom of the floor joist to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just thinking, you know, to keep, this is cut out in the concrete now at this height. And so we were thinking, well, I'll just keep that and then clean up the facade around it. If you go up, you know, I guess you could go all the way up and I don't know, we were trying to just kind of stay as subtle with that as possible. I don't know if you saw the, let's see, go back up to the rendering here. Since it's underneath the stair, we were trying to just create with a monotone color and maybe match the stair color that we're installing. And then, of course, there's that window that's existing.
Yeah. Okay. And then the other question I have is about just that top cornice piece. Is there a reason we're keeping it just flat and not putting a little arch or some little bit of decorative element to it to make it more match the original front of the restaurant?
I guess our thought was that the historical facade, which is really a north facade, that should take more precedent than, say, the west facade. And so, although we've kind of taken a cue where we've lifted it in the center and proportional, it seemed like that needed to be somewhat unique as kind of the signature, and it's got the plaque on it as well.
Okay.
So that was our thought.
Yeah. And then how do you source brick to match? Like, are there people who specialize in making specialty brick tones? Like, are there enough stock colors out there? You find something that can match well? Like, what's that process like?
Well, there is like the warmer tone brick. We know there's a brick that matches. There's a number of brick colors within the north elevation. And we know, we've actually taken color charts out. We know we can actually match the color of one of the darker bricks. It's the lighter brick that, and they have lighter brick. It's probably not going to be exact. But if you've ever been to Mutual Materials, they have a wide selection of colors that we think will be able to work really well with the elevation.
Okay. Thank you. That's all for me, Tim.
Okay. Randall?
I don't really have any comments at this point in time. I like what Rick and his firm has done and the owner has done with the building. Because you do, when you come out of the Marina Park parking lot and come out to the, to the southwest, and you're coming out, the north and the west elevation of this building almost read as one when you look at it, because it's at an angle that you're coming out and you're coming right at that corner. And so I like, where they've taken the lines coming around the building and continued that, doing some sort of match or complementary colors on the brick and that. And so I like what they've done. I like keeping it simple on the north side, for really the historic nature of it and that. And so I'm liking what I see here.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. My question, just very minor question, Rick. The existing brick on that north side, it appears to, and I'm basing this on the one photograph you had of the real close-up of the double-hung window. It looks like it's, I call it cat scratch brick. It's got the vertical scratches in it. And in addition, it looks like the north facade, that one right there. In addition, it looks like all the jointing is fully raked joints. What are your thoughts, or what's going to be the procedure on that west face? Is it full anchored brick veneer where you can do a raked joint, or is it going to be thin brick with just an adhered brick? Or obviously you probably cannot get the cat scratch brick. I've not seen it anywhere. I don't think Mutual has it, and it probably would be totally a special item, but what are your thoughts on those brick questions?
Well, I think the question about brick versus a thin brick, we prefer real materials and thick materials. So we would have, it'd be a brick veneer. So it wouldn't be a thin veneer. The fully raked joint is of a bit of concern, as around in the Northwest. So I don't know if we'll have a fully raked joint like that. It probably is going to have, it'll be raked horizontally, but I'm not sure we'll be able to match that completely. That west facade is going to get a lot more wind-driven weather. So that would be a bit of a concern.
I wonder, are there masons anymore that can do it's called a weathered joint, where it's get a little bit of extra shadow line, but you don't get the moss surface, if you will, on the horizontal.
I think something like that is probably in order. I don't think a full rake joint is is wise, and actually most, you know, most masons anymore will tell you that, just because of the because of the maintenance issue.
And a kind of a corollary question then, that north facade, is that brick, is that anchored to, or is it adhered essentially to some of the clay tile, or is it on a, is it a more of a standard airspace brick veneer with a substrate that you can easily dismantle? How's that going to be done?
It's so what we're going to do is we're going to, it's a framed wall behind that, and we're going to be installing a steel kind of moment frame right behind the wall, mm-hmm. and adhering the wall to that.
Oh, so the frame wall that's there is adequate for not having to touch
correct.
The back side of the brick. Okay. All right.
Yep.
That sounds good. Any other questions, board?
I have one more question for Rick.
Okay, go ahead, Ting.
Thank you. Rick, can you go to the proposed west facade? I really like the symmetry that established on these elevations. So one detail is that north wall, brick wall, when at that corner, when it turns to the west facade, that brick, the end of the brick is facing west.
Yes.
So
yes.
It almost created a strip coming down. So I wonder if you are going to apply the same detail when the building turns from the west to south.
Oh, okay. We weren't planning on that, just again because of the nature of this being kind of an isolated brick facade and being historical and being different color. Because we've got the same color on the west and the south, it seemed to us to just return it as natural, like you would build a new brick wall and not try to force that item, and just leave that vertical line there in that elevation.
I see. Thank you. Yeah, that's interesting. You think it's more natural. To me, I feel like if you can apply the same detail, that will increase the consistency being symmetrical.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't know, maybe just a vertical line would help, because we're not going to have the change in, it's not going to appear the same. You know, it's not going to look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I would then say that it's now time, if any of the attendees, the public, wish to address this project, now is the time. And again, John, help me out. I'm seeing 15 participants, and I don't know.
We have several attendees. So again, if any of the attendees would like to speak at this point, please use your raise hand feature on the Zoom. It should be down at the bottom panel. There should be an option to raise your hand.
I don't see any. Okay.
If you don't have the raise hand feature, maybe just send a chat just saying you'd like to speak. That would be fine too. Let's give it a minute.
Okay. Yep, I don't see anything coming in on chat to...
Yep, same here.
Okay, so I'll assume there's none of the attendees wish to address the project. So let's jump right into deliberation. Any of the board members want to volunteer, or I'll just start calling names? I see any hands up. Let's see, don't see any. Let's go round to you're at the top of my list. Go ahead and fire away.
I guess I'm looking at it and from where as you go around the building and that over the last couple of weeks, I've had the opportunity to really be down and just really take a look at the building and that, and what the applicant is doing here is on this west elevation is a major improvement from what it is now. And then continuing the brick along the, or around the south elevation, and that they've really set it off as a, you know, really almost a new building and look. And I like the idea of keeping the north elevation pretty much similar to what it is now. I think once that's cleaned up and some brick pointing and that type of thing, I think it'd be great. And then the, you know, the real strong elevation on this as add is the west elevation. I like the symmetry of it, keeping it very simple and that. So I'm, you know, in the way that they've orchestrated the head, the soldier coursing over the top of the windows, having to jump up and then jump down to keep that horizontal band at the same elevation and that, I like that. And so I don't really have, you know, the colors. I noticed that the awnings are listed as to be determined in that. And so I don't know if we go as far as that particular color selection or anything like that with this, but I'm pleased. For such a small building, it's a real, real strong upgrade. I like it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ting, I see you're next on my vertical list. I don't know how everybody else sees it, but go ahead if you're ready.
I have a question for you though. Are we gonna talk about the variance for removing the canopies on the north side?
I thought we would deal with the modification request after we've kind of given general comments. If you're free to go ahead and comment on that though, obviously, but in terms of voting on and coming to a conclusion, I suggest we wait until we're further through the deliberation.
Oh, I can wait.
Okay.
I can wait. Yeah, I like the building. I like most of the design features, and I really appreciate all this effort put in to maintain the historic aspects of the building. Like I said, I like most of them. There's one thing I kind of have a different opinion with is on the west facade, those smaller awnings on the third level. I understand, Rick, you mentioned that site would be exposed to the weather more. I'm just concerned that this kind of fabric canopies, you know, would even look more torn down versus the compared to the brick and the windows. And then through the detail, the windows are recessed a couple inches. So weather protection wise, I don't see water will go into the building that easily. Also, I kind of think those two smaller ones on top of, I think they're shorter, right? Less deeper than the lower ones.
Yes.
I feel like eventually those upper ones will create some uneven dirt marks on the bottom canopies. And then to me, that might be a unnecessary maintenance trouble in the future. I kind of think the simpler, the better in terms of the historic buildings. So I think I would like the better without the upper red canopies or awnings. Other than that, I really like the color transition you talked about from a warmer one to an even darker concrete foundation. So that's my comments on it for now. I will talk about the canopy on the north side later.
Okay. Thank you. Brad, do you want to go?
Yes. I don't have any major comments. I think the historical nature of the building has been treated very respectfully. The only question I have is more of a philosophical one for the board is our opinions on treating that west facade as you know, I asked the applicant, you know, why are they having using a little less detail on this west facade. And he stated it's, you know, because this isn't historical, it's the side of the building. They want to treat the, you know, kind of the original front as the historical aspect. And so I just want to ask the rest of the board, do you guys think we should use a cornice? Should we use minimal decoration and minimal, you know, I guess, you know, a lot of the brick coursing is going to match, of course, but what level of detail would we want to ask out of a project such as this? You know, do we just want to keep everything simple and clean? Do we want to try to match other facades? You know, that question can also maybe be applied to the south facades as well, and just for other historical buildings that we might see in the future.
Good questions. I'll chime in on this, and then I'll do some other things a little bit later, but I kind of agree with you that the very small little linear cornice bump on that west facade and the sort of mimicked south corner treatment, I'm wondering if they need to even be there at all, instead of just and I know unbroken parapet lines, we typically don't like them, but I think in this case, it may be worth perhaps treating that west cornice top just flat straight all the way across and eliminate the southwest corner, because I don't think we're going to see it on the southeast corner. It's going to just be a, you know, three-sided, if you will. And I don't know if that's necessary. Is that kind of where you're thinking, Brad?
Well, honestly, I'm not sure where I sit on it. You know, I like what's been done. I have no problems with how they're matching and treating it, but I've never remodeled a historical building myself. And mm-hmm. So part of me thinks, well, this is a big facade. It's west facing. It's facing the marina. A lot of people see it. Should we add more detail to it? But then I understand the kind of the opinion of this is the side. It's not the original historical front. So we want to, you know, make sure it still stays referential or deferential to the main facade. And so I don't know how I feel about it. And I'm just curious to gauge the rest of the board's opinion.
Okay. Okay. Adam, do you want to jump in on this and or other things?
Sure. Yeah, I guess I'm very happy with what they're proposing for the west facade. You know, as far as the parapet, the bumping up and down, I think I'd be fine with it as shown. I think I'd be fine with it if it was flat. I don't think it's too big of a deal. Even though this is a secondary facade, maybe keeping the bump up that abuts the north or front facade would be fine, and then the rest would be flat. I think that would work. I do have concerns about what's looking to me on my printout, and I guess on the screen, as a brown color on the base on the west facade. I'm not sure if that's the best way to meet the ground or the best color. So I wanted to get people's opinions on that. And I did want to mention, you know, I'm very appreciative that they're spending some money to refinish the south or the back. You know, one of the biggest differences there visually is going to be the removal of the existing, I guess, the kitchen, the hood exhaust that's going up. But seeing as we're putting two levels of new restaurant space, obviously vacant tenant space, if a hood goes in on the first floor, second floor, there's going to be hood's going to have to get exhausted up to the roof somehow. So I just want to maybe advise that hood chase occurs within the building rather than going back out the exterior and recreating what's already happening in its condition back there.
That's our intent.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's our intent.
One of my comments and concerns was I saw it most clearly in the two building section looking north, and it struck me that the awnings seemed too low. It's like I had the bill of my baseball cap pulled down too low, and I couldn't see you know, it, like there's a lot of wasted window that's totally hidden up inside the awning. I realize when viewed from below, you're going to see, you know, all of the window, mm-hmm. pretty much. But it just struck me as a little bit is there a reason for it? If you're a, let's see, I don't know if you're, I don't know how tall, looking straight out to the horizon, do you see the tip of that awning in the way? And if there's something in the sky, or do you have to get really close to the office floor, especially up on that third floor? So that was just one thought, and I welcome other people's opinions on it. The other piece in that, on the west facade, I do like the overall treatment. A little bit curious about the proportions and the spacing on the windows at the restaurant level. The pencil sketch or the marker sketch showed what, with no awnings in place, showed what it looked to be some transom windows that were broken up. Mm-hmm. Rick, can you go back to that yeah. sketch that shows that one? Mm-hmm. Obviously the, things are a little bit different and changed, but I do believe the north facade has either transom spandrel panels or transom windows existing, correct?
It does.
Okay.
It's got these large expanses here, which you see.
Oh, I see. So they're not really broken. Is that just almost single sheets of?
Yeah. Single sheets of what?
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And we looked at, we were looking at trying to break it up a little bit, but it just seemed like programmatically it worked. This was kind of a low horizontal line, and there's a lot of volume in the main floor. So one, and particularly if we had the awnings, it seemed like we wanted to, extend those as high as possible.
Uh-huh.
And then have the awnings placed as well.
Okay. Any of the other board members noticed or reacted to the awnings the way I did, with feeling like they're just set too low, or is that?
No, I don't have an issue with it. I think as the sideway grades down there, the perspective is going to change accordingly.
Yeah, okay. This is Randall. As you bring that up, if we go to the west elevation, once you look at the building sections and you look at how low those awnings are, I'm really looking at this and saying, do they even need the awnings on the upper windows? Because there's a character there that really those awnings are covering up. When you've got that soldier course going across, you got the lines, you've got the double hung windows and that come around to the north side, and you don't have any awnings on the north side. You know, the awnings on the first floor are utilitarian. They work for the purpose that they're driving, plus the head height on those are high enough that from the restaurant you're seeing out. And I'm just looking at that upper floor, that just removing those, there's a simplicity about it that it just takes that away to where you've really got the attractiveness of the brick, the soldier course, and really the building design itself. And so I'm tending, I think Ting kind of brought that up also, that, I'm looking at it as saying, do you really need the awnings on the upper side, upper floor? Taking those off kind of goes back to even more towards the historic nature of the building.
I would support that, Randall.
I have a strong thumbs up on that as well, Randall.
And I don't think I disagree. I think those are good comments.
Because when you go to the south elevation,
The
one there to the right, where you just got the windows without awnings.
Right.
There's just a nice element there that, the awnings seem to take away from, from that soldier course. And then, you see the windows, and that's really your design element, not the awning. And the awning for all practical purposes, is a temporary structure. Mm-hmm. We don't know what will end up there later and that. And so I just look at it and say, I'd keep the awnings on the lower side, but I think it's a, you've done a great job. It's an attractive building as down at Marina Park, and just kind of looking at this and walking around, it's really, by putting the brick across that, the west facade and everything, you get such a continued elevation with the north facade because of the angle of the street and everything, that it makes the building look even bigger than, you know, the simple 2,500 square foot footprint and that. And so I like what you're doing there, Rick. And I'd just say take those awnings off the top, and it really kind of folds back into more of the historic nature of it.
Yeah, that's a good comment.
I agree.
Thank you, Randall. You said what I want you to say in a much better, effective way.
No, you said but you brought it up to me. I hadn't really looked at it until you brought it up, and then it was like, oh, it really doesn't need to be there, because the windows, the double hung windows, the pattern of that I like, and that. And so I think, you know, I like it.
Good. Okay.
What are our thoughts on the color? And we don't have to get too prescriptive, I don't think, but what do we think on the awning color? Adam, I know you probably got some thoughts.
I'd say 1 to 10, I'm about a 6.5. not sold on it, but looking at the palette, I'm not sure that anything else catches my eye any better.
Yeah, this is Rainier Industries, which I'm sure you're familiar with. This is kind of their standard color palette. We just thought more of a, well, yeah, out of all these colors, I think this one probably, you know, is a little more distinguishable and works a little better with that kind of neutral background.
Yeah. Now, is there any chance that whenever a tenant does sign a lease, that they would have some kind of signage on this side of the building? Does anyone on the board know about that, if that's a possibility?
John, what's the sign code going to say with both this side and the north facade with signage?
So the like, zoning code, well, the sign code actually reflects a lot of what the guidelines for signs are in the downtown. So like, for example, they couldn't put up just one of those typical cabinet signs with the big plastic face. Code would require like channel illumination. It would encourage like the, what do you call it? Halo lighting, discourage neon. So to a certain extent, code already gets at a lot of the guidelines for the downtown. But
I guess I'm just envisioning, you know, like the word cheeseburger in white letters on the front edge of that awning. And that's what I'm trying to avoid.
Oh, I see. You know?
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, you do have authority on signage, so you can you can certainly put some general standards that we can apply to the approval.
Yeah.
I don't think we would object to some sort of condition where there's no signage put on the awnings. I think that's probably the last thing we want to see as well. So
we're in agreement on that.
I will note that.
Okay. If there's nothing else in the general context of the west facade or any of that, let's go ahead and go with the modification. Ting, you brought it up. You want to elaborate further, Ting, or do you have?
I do. So I do support the idea of not having the awnings on that north facade. And even at the conceptual design meeting, I kind of thought it would diminish the brick, the historic features of the building. I do wonder if it's fair to request the applicant to reduce the outdoor eating area a little bit, to give like just 2 or 3 feet back to that narrow sidewalk as an exchange. Because that sidewalk, existing one, is really narrow, and people basically have to come down, go around. And there's a street light pole along the sidewalk, and there's a fire hydrant right in the middle of the sidewalk. So just like 1 or 2 feet would be a huge deal for pedestrians. So that's, I wonder what the others think about if it's too much.
No, I'm part owner of a restaurant, and that hurts to hear because I know how valuable outdoor space is. But what I do know is that different seating configurations can make the space a little more efficient. You know, I'm sure Rick just has this as a draft seating layout. I'm sure there's absolutely nothing final here. You know, and I think it's entirely possible to fit just as many seats, you know, with maybe a little, maybe not in times of COVID, but normally, with a little tighter there. I have walked past there and, you know, I've had to stop and not run into the hydrant when there's a crowd. I think there's a yearly, was it St. Patrick's Day run downtown? And people are bumping into this hydrant whenever there's a crowd on the street. So it's definitely a tight squeeze here.
Yeah.
Rick, do we know the extent to which you will be either want to do or will be forced to do major repaving on everything in that area? Or do you just, again, the Public Works approval for the outdoor seating of the restaurant is granted annually, is that right, John?
Yes, that's correct.
And obviously it seems as if it's becoming a bit more permanent. I know at the CDC with the other egress door on that northwest corner, there were some real questions about how to deal with the grade right there. And since that's no longer the issue, is that outdoor seating area going to be improved and flattened or planered, if you will, or is it going to stay like it is with, you know, tables and chairs that rickety rock and, you know, back and forth? Rick, is that a...
Yeah. You know, we haven't really addressed the outdoor seating in terms of those kind of issues. One, we had talked about perhaps building a kind of a deck, if you will, that would level that area out. And, but of course that would have to be removed because it's only used 6 months out of the year. Or it would just, we would keep with the grade the way it is right now and the border. We haven't really gotten into the design of the outdoor. I mean, we're so focused on the building right now. But and knowing that the outdoor space has been used for quite some time within that arrangement, we are going to. So I'm not sure about how much we're going to be doing to the improvements there on the flat work. We are going to be putting in a new stormwater line and a new water line, which will lead to the street. So that's going to precipitate some repaving. At this point, I'm just not sure how much.
Okay. In terms of the actual modification request, I fully agree that there's no reason to put awnings or overhead weather protection on this facade, given that typically it is not pedestrians walking through there needing shelter from the rain. It's restaurant patrons who are sitting at the tables. They may be under umbrellas, but since it's pretty de facto not a public walkway anymore, I don't see the need whatsoever to mess up this north facade with overhead awnings of some type. That's just my own personal feeling. So I guess I'm in favor of granting the modification request, but I certainly welcome other voices.
Tim, Randall, I was just going to show this picture. I think, maybe it doesn't show, this picture I've got with all these red umbrellas. I can just imagine that competing with awnings as well. So I definitely support having no awnings in the front if umbrellas are going to end up there for outdoor dining.
Essentially. Yeah. Awesome. Randall, your thoughts?
I don't I really don't think awnings really would look all that great on the north facade, and it would distract away from the historic nature of the building. And that, because it appears that it hasn't ever had awnings, and that, and so I would support not having the awnings or any awnings on that north side.
Mr. Brown, Brad, are you there? What are your thoughts?
I don't think you should have awnings. I think we should match what's closest existing with the historical character. So I think that awning requirement's good for new buildings meeting neighborhood, but when you have something unique and special like a historical building, I don't think that we should be tacking a bunch of awnings on and covering up the historical facade of the building.
Yeah. The other piece too, if it's just a torrential downpour just next door at the Hallmark, you know, building, there are substantial nice overhead weather protection there, so someone could get out of the rain if they truly needed to. If it's just a typical drizzle or a sprinkle, Northwesterners, you know, doesn't typically bother us as much. So functionally, I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. So it sounds like we're in fairly good agreement that the modification request would be granted. Is that a fair statement? I see a nod of heads.
Yes.
What? Okay. Yep. John, is that something we need to vote on?
I think what you can do is just include that with the motion to approve if you decide to approve the project.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Any more discussion of any kind? Any deliberation, comments, concerns? Don't hear anything. I'm personally, I don't see any reason to bring them back for another, you know, continuation of the design response conference. Is there anybody who thinks we need to see this one more time in any form? Nobody?
I think we make a motion to approve it.
Moved by Board Member Crane for approval. I assume there will be some...
Second that motion.
Seconded by Board Member Brand. Let's have discussion.
I think that the only large remaining items are the color palette and matching that. I trust the architect to do a good job with that, with the materials that are available. So I feel confident passing this as it's been presented to us.
And do we stipulate the removal of the awnings on the west side upper floor?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question. Can we put that as a condition with the approval?
Yes.
I believe we can.
Yes. As part of your motion, you can make a condition of approval.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I would be comfortable if that can be a condition added to the approval.
You are comfortable
yes.
with that? Okay. All right. So I'll restate the motion that we would approve with the condition on approval of the modification request for overhead weather protection on the north facade, as well as removal of the second floor, third story, if you will, awnings on the individual windows. So it's been moved and seconded and restated. Any further discussion at all? John, you've got your hand up.
Potential items for discussion again would be the modification approval and the condition of having no signage on the awnings.
Oh, correct. Okay. Are we in agreement that we would like to keep the awnings just empty, fabric only? I know
yes.
Adam brought it up.
Do not want cheeseburger and milkshake on those. Yes.
All right. So with that added to the motion, Any further discussion or amendments to that motion?
Could you restate the motion?
Actually, Adam, do you want to restate or do you want me to?
So I think we're approving the modification for no awnings on the front north facade. We are also putting in a condition for no awnings on the upper floor of the west facade, and an additional condition for no signage on awnings anywhere.
Correct. Okay, moved and seconded for approval of the project. Those in favor, this will be a roll call vote.
Okay, board member Brandt.
Approve.
Board member Brown.
Move to approve.
Board member Chan.
I approve. Thank you.
Board member Crane.
Approve.
And Chair Olson.
Approved. Very good. Any questions from the applicant on anything that we have approved?
No, I thank you for your consideration. And, I'm in agreement with most of your recommendations. It's good.
Very good. This is a good project. I'm glad to see it handled so successfully and probably a record for the rapidity of approval by the DRB, I think.
So that's good to hear.
Yes. Well done.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Only thing left on our agenda is the administrative reports and discussion and the attendance for the next DRB meeting. We have no meeting on, I believe it's Labor Day, correct? So the only possible next meeting would be the third week of September. John, I assume it's way too early. We have no idea if there's anything coming up then.
Yeah, that's a September 21st meeting, and we may have the MIRA townhomes. This is the townhome project next to the Portsmouth. So that may come in.
Okay.
In time. We'll see. It's up to you, though.
That would be design response, because we just did correct. The single CDC with them, correct? Okay. Okay. Well, we will hear about attendance requests when it comes closer, if there is in fact something on the agenda. With that, I think we are done. Anybody have anything they need to bring up or discuss, or just get off their hearing none, I would entertain
maybe,
a motion.
Maybe I make a motion, we adjourn.
Moved, is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you all. We will see you perhaps next month.
Good job, Rick.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.